which I know somebody in our church has on their license plate. I just can't remember who. Let me read it in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now, to him who by the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we could dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, our highest hopes or dreams, to him be glory forever and ever in the church and in Jesus Christ." To him who is able to do far above what we could ask or think. You know what? When I'm relying upon that kind of a God, I'm a lot less intimidated by the blowfish. It doesn't even take satanic blowfish exercises. All it takes is my checkbook sometimes. One doctor's report. I just love that story, Rich. I love that. You know, here's something that you can't even find anybody that's going to give you hope because no one's ever heard of the problem before, and it just looks hopeless. And here you have one conversation with someone that knows. And all of a sudden, the whole thing takes on a completely different perspective. It was always true. You just didn't know it. That's the way you are, folks, and I am, when we are carrying the weight of our problems as if it was up to us to fix them. To be fair, we were raised this way. I was. If you're a man, especially, you're a man. Fix it. And of course, if you can't fix it, then there's some question about your manhood. But see, here's the deal. God's kingdom doesn't operate that way. God's kingdom, it's you're a man. Don't fix it until you talk to me, the Lord says. Or you're a man. You can't fix it. You need me, God says. It's a completely different dynamic. And I love the guy's response. I am believing, present tense. Pistuo, I am leaning, I am trusting as best I can, sort of, not very good at it, but please be constantly helping me when I don't do that, when I don't lean, when I don't trust. Help my distrust, my uncertainty. Four little rabbit trails on this. Number one is, I bet it blessed Jesus' heart to hear this kind of an honest statement. But coming from where I came from before I came to Calvary Chapel, you know, if you admitted that your faith was weak, that was the kiss of death. Okay, then God's not going to answer your prayer. So you had to lie, basically. I do believe, I do. In fact, the more people said, I do believe, I do believe, I don't have any doubts, I don't have any doubts, the more I questioned whether they had doubts. Because it was all about filibuster, you know. It was all about leverage. It's an interesting thing. Here's an interesting thing. If you just want to look at this, this sort of shoots the it's all about your faith stuff that's going around in America and other affluent countries. Jesus did the miracle, and the man admittedly had weak faith. So apparently, you don't have to have strong faith for Jesus to do a miracle. You just have to come to him. Having the faith isn't the leverage. I think sometimes that's more for my benefit. If I trust in God, I get beat up a lot less by the lies of my enemy. Write that stuff down. Write down what happened with your family. You know, write down the things that God's done, the things that could have happened but didn't happen in a bad way. And keep a log of that, because that's God working in your life and people you know. Whenever you tell somebody what God's done for you, that he's changed you, the Bible calls that magnifying the Lord, which means to make him more conspicuous. My MacBook Pro, you just go like that, and it just immediately expands the whole what you had on your screen. It's one reason why we spend so much time studying and we spend so much time in worship. It's perspective adjustment. Because when I read the newspaper and I am in, the danger of online news is for us recovering newsaholics. You can have it at your beck and call. And I want to tell you, the biggest challenge to my faith is the news. Do I need to know every horrible thing that's happening the minute it happens at every point on the earth? Do I need to know that? Can me knowing that change anything? Oh, don't get me going on that. And I successfully got along without a television for 10 years. But man, when I got a computer and now I'm online, it's a fabulous study tool. I tell you, it's a great piece of technology. But now I have that same old wrestling match about washing my brain, about seeing things the way they really are, not the way everybody's telling me they are. And that's challenged my challenge. I bet it blessed Jesus, getting back on subject, sorry. I bet it blessed Jesus that this guy was honest. Yeah, I am believing, but I have to tell you, it comes and it goes, and I need your help. There's a guy. This is one of my other rabbit trails. What does Jesus do with weak faith? This guy knew. When this guy said, Jesus, help me with my weak faith, he knew something. There are certain people you can't talk to in church when you know that your faith is weak, because you'll be shunned. You'll be ridiculed. Your Christianity will be questioned. So just lay low, because you can't tell them that you're having trouble because of the way they'll treat you. I hope this church is not that way. It's not supposed to be. This should be the place that when we're real, we strengthen one another in our trust, not push one another away. How does Jesus treat our weak faith? He helps. He encourages. Okay, how does he help weak faith? This is the clue bus honking its horn right now, okay, as we're standing here at the bus stop. This may clear something up that you've never understood before. I know when somebody told me, it cleared up something I didn't understand. How does God help my weak faith? Well, he gives me $200,000 in the bank, and is this, I always find the right parking places, and everything is just groovy, and I'm on the sunny side of the street, my car never breaks down, and that's it. No, is that the way it happens? The way that he increases my faith is by giving me more opportunity to exercise my faith, which is that sticky wicket that I hate. That means I have less control, not more control. To trust God more means I have more entrusted to him. I had another irritating friend in my life who always told me the truth, which would never help me when I was whining. I hated that. Work with me here. I'm whining. Come on. Feel some pity. But when something bad would happen, she'd say, Bob, this is just another opportunity for God to show his faithfulness. Oh, I wanted to punch her a couple of times. Yeah. Easy for you to say. But you know what? It was the truth. And at the same time, I'm thinking, oh, God, just build my faith. I want to be one of those people that can't be shaken by anything. So, God, just build my faith. And she says, well, and every time I try to, you fight me. What does he do when he's building my faith? He takes things out of my control. And, of course, I mistake that by thinking that if it's out of my control or any human control, then it's out of control. But that's not true at all, is it? That's when it's in God's control. So help my weak faith, be constantly helping my weak faith. Yeah, I tell you, that may look different than you think. With me, it's the publishing companies that provide most of my income. They keep getting sold. They keep changing. I still could not tell you when the next royalty check is coming. I have no idea. Every time I start trying to get regularity in that, And out of one side of my mouth, I'm saying, God, I want to trust you. I want to be a man that lives a life in front of other people that genuinely trusts you, not posturing, not pretend, not name it and claim it, but somebody that genuinely trusts you no matter what. Out of one side of my mouth, and then out of the other side, I want everything to be all my duckies to be in a row, everything to be lined up. But you know, he doesn't do it that way. That's a rabbit trail. I already spent a good deal of time on the other rabbit trail that I had here, and that was maybe the reason this guy was having trouble believing was because the disciples didn't even believe. Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe what Jesus was saying to him was the same thing he said to you and to me. At times he says, okay, look at me, don't look at them. Come to me, don't base your faith on them, on the way they're living their lives. Obviously, these guys were tremendously distractible. But see, these were the professionals. You wonder why people don't come to church? Some people just, they love darkness rather than light. That's, the Bible says that. But some people, they just think, what's the point? Those people don't believe it. Why should I? I'm not only the pastor, the teacher, I'm the worship leader also, or at least one of the worship leaders. And I found myself writing to my notes saying, Bob, how often you contradict your own songs. Which is why we sing them over and over and over and over. So hopefully it goes past here, down in here. I pray that every time, every Sunday, I say, Lord, I pray that the words that are coming out of our mouths when we are worshiping you, that they will be real in our lives, in the way we live them. So the guy has weak faith. He admits he has weak faith. I bet you that made Jesus smile. Rather than disciples doing their whole yay thing, you know, they got the lightning rod up here and they got the meh. And you know what? And it had worked. It had always worked before. On those last two demon casting healing trips that they went on, it worked. Here's the thing. Sometimes when God does stuff and we're involved, if he does it a bunch of times, we start thinking that it's us. Could that be the problem? When Jesus said, when they said, Lord, why couldn't we do it? We've done it before. And he says, because of your unbelief, because of your not leaning on me, not relying on me, not trusting in my power. Could it be? Well, I've certainly seen it. It's like, Jesus, we did the yay, you know, we did the lightning rod thing. We, and our posture was perfect. It's always worked before. And he says, no, you're missing the point. It's not a formula. The true power, he said, that flowed through you before came from me. That's why there's no power right now. It wasn't coming from me. You guys were derailed. You were derailed with an argument. Somebody walks up in the middle of an argument. You are totally in the flesh. Interesting that Jesus asked the guy how long this had been happening. I think that was research, because later he says this kind only comes out by prayer. Some manuscripts say by prayer and fasting. But in other words, this is a different ranking of demon that apparently this superior demon could discern their lack of true power and would not respond to a mere formula. So apparently that was research when he asked how long. Notice it's not a particularly frenetic prayer. I would love to see the movie version. I'm pretty sure he didn't go, yay! I'm pretty sure it didn't have any of that drama attached to it. I also find it interesting that the demon had to come out, but he didn't come out immediately, and he didn't come out without a fight. And that tells me something, too. What do you suppose that would be? Well, let's look at our own lives. Draw a graph. As you grow in your Christian life, one line on that graph will be how long before you give up praying about something. And hopefully that's stretching because you're realizing I give up way too soon. But sometimes the other line on that graph is the amount of satanic resistance that I get. You start praying for somebody to find the Lord and they just, all hell breaks loose in their lives. And we give up. When it could be just the blowfish thing, you know what I mean? Jesus says, come out, you come out, don't you ever go back in there, and the demon has to come out. It's not a wrestling match to see whether Superman's going to win or Lex Luthor. It's not that kind of a deal at all. He has to come out, but he, as he comes out, he huffs and puffs and tries to make himself look really bad. Don't stop trusting in God's power. And I want to close with this. I've got five more minutes. One interesting thing, and I've taught this a whole bunch of times before, I've even thought of it from this direction, but when, you know, the disciples couldn't do it, Jesus has said, it's because you're not trusting in me, and this kind of demon only comes out by prayer and fasting, if you accept all the manuscripts, if you do most of the best ones, just say by prayer. But that brings up an interesting point, which I hadn't thought of until John Corson said it, and that is, when did Jesus have the time to pray and fast or pray or fast when this emergency arose? When did he have the time to stop? Sorry, could you demons just hold it right there for a minute because I'm going to go pray? He seemed to be adequately prepared. So when did he have the time to do that? The answer is very revealing. He always prayed, and he always fasted. He was always plugged in. Were the disciples plugged in the same way? No, they had those important arguments that they had to do, those important theological discussions that needed to happen because we needed to prove that we're right and they're not. So they were disconnected. The thing about fasting is it's not leverage. The thing about fasting is focus. It disconnects me from the demands of my flesh. And the thing about prayer is also about focus. That's not leverage either. That's about my focus being upon Him. That's plugging me into the power source. We have a saying in the recording business. When your amp doesn't go on, it could be the cable proximity factor, which means, is it plugged in? Rather than, as most, you know, gearheads would do, or more most tube heads would do, they would dismantle it rather than just pull on the cord and see if it's plugged in. Maybe that was the issue here. They just weren't plugged in. Jesus said it was. But when did he have time to get plugged in? This is an important point. This is why I need to stay constantly in prayer. This is why I need to feed myself. This is why I need for my focus to be on the Lord, because I don't know when an emergency is going to happen. I just don't know. I can't freeze it and say, okay, now I'm going to have to, you know, pump myself up and be ready. No, be always ready. Just stay plugged in. And that was the primary reason. I think it's really interesting that when they went out with his power and same guys, normal people, the demons were subject to their prayers. But in this time, the one little thing derailed them. And they were in the flesh and they had no power. And who suffered? The needy person that was trying to get to Jesus and couldn't get to Jesus because of all of the of his followers. There's a bumper sticker I saw out in Washington State where I used to live. It was pathetic, made me cry. It was so true, convicting. It said, "Dear Jesus, please save me from your followers." And I thought, wow. I have prayed that same prayer, I have to admit, a few times. I have. So this is so much in this one incident. It shows me the power that Jesus has. It shows me why maybe I don't see it happen in my life. I'm just distracted. The devil's really good at that. Pick up Wednesday's study. We talked about that in greater detail. It also shows me that even when a guy doesn't have perfect faith and is willing to admit it, that God can still work a miracle. And the forces of Satan can still be busted. So I pray along with this guy, Lord, I am, as best I can, I am believing, I am leaning on you, I'm trusting you. Please constantly help my weak faith. Let's pray. You know us, Lord, better than we know us, and I thank you for every time you've shown me what I was trusting in and what I wasn't trusting in, or I wouldn't know. I thank you for the lessons we can learn from this, Lord. It is sobering to think that there may be people that I love that don't trust you simply because they're watching me and I don't trust you. So, Lord, it's challenging. I do feel like this man who said, I am trying, I am as best I can right now in this moment, trying to trust you. Please help my weak faith. Help us to recognize when you're doing that, that the very circumstances we're trying to pray away may be an opportunity for our faith to grow. We may not be able to ever get things under our control and still have you build our faith, but they are under your control. And we have an opportunity to see that. So, Lord, thank you for every time you teach us that. Thank you for what this all shows us, this passage shows us about your heart and about the kind of people you're willing to be patient with, because it gives me hope. God, deliver us from arguing, thinking that our point has to be proven and defended when there might be something really important that needs to happen and we would be so in the flesh we wouldn't be usable. So, Lord, keep us plugged in constantly to your power. Bless these dear ones today. Be with Julia in the hospital, Lord. Let her in this unforeseen and life-altering accident in her life, Lord, let it be another opportunity for you to show your faithfulness in an extraordinary way. That's my prayer. We love you. We aren't very good at it. We trust you. We aren't very good at that either. So help us constantly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming.